I love my art, but I couldn't find anywhere where there was any images of sport. After all, sport is a very important part of the Australian way of life. It's built into our psyche. We're well recognised as a sporting nation. But none of that is represented in the art, which seems very strange, because art, after all, is supposed to reflect the mores of society and so on. That is obviously not happening in the Australian art scene.
Basil Sellers there announcing his decision to sponsor one of the richest art prizes in the country back in 2007. The Australian philanthropist, art collector and former owner of the Sydney Swans wants to encourage artists to engage with sporting culture in their work. That's why he set up the Basil Sellers Art Prize. It's a biennial award, and this is the fourth time it's been presented. And the winner, the fourth time winner of the prize, worth $100,000, is Tony Albert for a work called Once Upon a Time. Welcome to the show, Tony. Congratulations.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
So nice to have you back on the program on such a wonderful occasion. So yes. For those of us who haven't seen the work, which is sort of a collection of works. It's a kind of little show all on its own. Describe what it looks like.
So the work itself is comprised, I think, about 26 components, including a letter that I had wrote to artist Gordon Bennett. And they kind of all sit scattered side by side in front of a kind of a very big target.
A big red target.
A big red target, that's correct.
Painted on the wall, yeah. So you've written this letter to fellow Indigenous artist Gordon Bennett, who died not so long ago. Is it just last month, was it?
Only very, very recently. Yeah. It's very sad.
Yeah, it was. So he's been a big influence on your life. What did you say in this letter, Tony?
This was a second letter to Gordon, actually, and on both accounts I'd wrote to him. It was about moments in the paper, both derived from sport, that had kind of captured my attention, but also reminded me of images that he had painted in his life that took me back to those times, or that way of engaging within, I guess, racism or different issues in politics.
Yeah, well, for people who don't know Gordon Bennett's work, it's very striking, and it often deals with issues of the colonisation of Aboriginal land, to put it bluntly.
Yes, and he's at the forefront. I mean, one of Australia's most best and recognised artists, contemporary artists, regardless of, I guess, race or ethnicity.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So your work, this work we're talking about, deals with racism in sport. What triggered this for you?
This letter was triggered by the incident where Adam Goods actually was called an ape from the crowd, and kind of the aftermath of that event.
So for people who listening all over the world who don't know Adam Goods, he's an Aboriginal football player, a star Aboriginal football player, winner of the Brownlow Medal, a tremendous player. And, yeah, people called him an ape.
Yes, which led to an apology, which led to some more media events that hyped it up again. And coincidentally, that happened in the 20th, on the match which coincided with the 20th anniversary of Nicky Winmar making that amazing statement during the game. As an AFL player, he actually lifted up his jersey and pointed to his skin after receiving a lot of, banter from the crowd.
No, not banter, abuse. I mean,
abuse.
People had shout out things like go and sniff some petrol and go walk about where you came from, that sort of stuff. I mean, it was really ugly back in 1993. And at the end of the game, yes, St Kilda player Nicky Winmar lifts up his jumper in this proud act of defiance and points to his skin. And we all knew what it meant. And it's one of the icons, really. I mean, literally an icon. That photograph by Wayne Ludby that was published in The Age is one of the icons of 20th century Australia.
It was. I mean, going back to that time, it was really one of that one-off moment that a photographer can capture. And, you know, I remember as a teenager seeing that image. It was through, you know, at the medical centre and at the, you know, during the community. It was just spread everywhere, and I was really proud.
So you were a kid when this happened?
Yes, 13, I think.
Okay.
At the time.
So did it really stir you, did it?
Well, just that, I think that image remained embedded and imprinted in my mind. And it was one of the first things I thought of when, Adam Goods, pointed the finger, so to speak. And and I guess also the way in which he responded to it, which is, so amazing.
Yeah, well, 20 years apart, you'd like to think that a lot had changed. I mean, there has been a change of heart, wouldn't you say, at the highest level of the AFL, of people really recognising that racism in sport is a problem and taking steps to tackle it.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of, in the work, this optimistic or twist or thread that runs through it that is about change, about eradication of racism, about, you know, ambassadors like Adam Good standing up and saying, you know, that racism, it stops with us.
That's what I liked about most about the work, Tony. I thought that you were also claiming victory, you know, that there's been a great struggle to arouse the conscience and understanding of the wider Australia to this as an issue, and that awakening is taking place.
That's right, and I even have you know, a friend that works in AFL as a kind of a cultural ambassador, and they're, you know, they're really putting you know, great steps forward into you know, how to handle this issue.
You've been marvellously wicked too, because there are little monkeys and a gorilla all spread through
there's
the exhibition.
There's cheeky humour attached to it as well, yeah.
Well, it's very black humour. Oh, black humour, yeah. How about that? Are you a sports lover yourself, Tony?
A pretty much sports lover. I grew up playing league. My sister was a huge AFL fan, so I'd go along to a lot of games with her. For me now, sport is very much more about a social engagement with the family. It's, you know, those times we get together and watch sport rather than me physically playing sport. Right. But I do come from a sporting background.
Sporty family. Now, also with us in the studio this morning is Vincent Alessi, who is senior curator at the Ian Potter Museum, which oversees the Basil Sellers Art Prize. It's the art gallery at the University of Melbourne. Vince, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How tough was it to work your way through this field of entries this year?
Well, I was lucky because I didn't have to do that. So we had five judges who shortlisted the final 16 from about 300 applications. And then those same judges had to go through the last 16 to choose a winner. So I had the joy of actually curating, working with the artists and presenting the exhibition without
you just
the
had to
pressure.
You just had to make them look nice.
I just had to make them look great for the judges and for the public.
Okay, so there are 16 finalists. Can we draw any general trends out of this about how they rose to the challenge?
Well, I think what's really great about this, the fourth incarnation, is I think the artists have, the prize has found its feet in the sense that the artists are talking about rather broad social issues. So in Tony's case, racism, there's people looking at national identity, national icons, people looking at sexism, and so it's not just a depiction of sport, you know, the fragility of sport. So it's looking at all those broad issues, which I think, you know, is what Basil intended the prize to do.
Yeah. I mean, this idea that sport and art come from opposite ends of the cosmos, well, I think it's frustrating. I don't actually understand where it came from or where it began.
I agree with you. I mean, I think where it still stems from is the constant discussion around one gets funded more than the other. But they're both significantly culturally important. I don't think you can have a cohesive society without sport.
Do you see common ground between them, or are they satisfying different parts of the human psyche?
No, I think there is common ground. I mean, I think in sport, I mean, in Melbourne, you'd be hard-pressed to argue that football, AFL, is not culturally important, and how people identify with their teams and how it is a broader, it's a reflective of the broader society. And I think artists do that as well. So I think there are commonalities individually. An artist has to have immense discipline and continue to practice in order to succeed. And that's the same for sports people. So I think there's a lot more in common than what we actually give.
And some of the artists in this show, in this competition, are sports people.
They are. So we have a couple of boxers, a couple of tennis players, and one of the works, Richard Lewis' work, you know, is about the discipline required both to be a boxer, but also that same discipline required to succeed as an artist.
What's Richard Lewis' work consist of?
So about 20 pieces of paintings and a video work and a rack full of mouthguards. And the video looks at Tony's a boxer, but also a boxing trainer and an artist.
Richard, sorry.
And he took 11 of his boxers to his studio and made them spend a day doing life drawing classes as part of their training.
How marvellous!
So it sort of replicates the gym, but it plays on that notion that there are similarities between both of those spheres.
Well, that's interesting because that's another work like Tony's, the one we're discussing today, that consists of many elements.
Multiple components, yes.
Multiple components. You said that as if you were correcting me. This is what we say, Michael, is multiple components, not many elements.
We like to call them components.
Is that right? Goodness me. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN. I'm Michael Cathcart, and we're talking about the Basil Sellers Art Prize. Vincent Alessi is with me, who is one of the curators at the gallery where it's on display, the Ian Potter Museum at the University of Melbourne. And the winner is with us, Tony Albert. Have you had a look at the other works, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the first things I did when I arrived. I hadn't seen not only my work installed, but what the other artist had put forward. And as kind of one of the younger artists in the prize, a lot of the artists were people that I had studied or heroes of mine. So I was so keen to see what everyone else had done.
And what particularly caught your eye?
Raquel O'Mella has done these amazing big reworked flags. I guess she pulls them apart rather than pieces them together, which are incredible. And Caleb Sabsabi's video work, exploring kind of these notions of the power of a crowd, really stood out to me as well.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Tell us some more about that.
Caleb is in the outer suburbs of Sydney, and his kind of work looks at this that psyche of when you get a whole lot of people together screaming and yelling and cheering, that kind of energy that's created. And he kind of looks at this idea of, well, what if that energy kind of stormed Parliament House or something? Like, what we could actually do, you know, if we put that energy of sport into these other realms
into
of life.
Into the public debate.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, it has that kind of fun sense of humour, but the underlying message of it is actually quite strong and powerful.
Vince, there's an old idea that if you want to get insight into a culture, go to a game.
Correct.
You know, and if you want to understand India, go and watch cricket.
Correct.
Do you hold with that?
I do. We, many years ago, took a delegation of about 30 visitors who were mainly from Manila and India to a game of football, and we were lucky enough to take them to Carlton Collingwood. And my colleague at the time, after about 5 minutes, they obviously wanted to know what the game was about. And the colleague of mine, who was a sociologist, explained the game in the context of identity between what it means to be a Carlton supporter, which is a blue blood, traditionally a blue blood, and what it meant to be a Collingwood supporter, which is working class, and how these identities really shaped the sort of the hate between the two clubs. So it was quite wonderful to sit there and listen to this, because at no point did he actually talk about the rules.
Right, push in the back. He didn't talk about push in the back.
Didn't talk about what the goalposts were and all those things. He actually talked about, you know, the sort of the social class between the two sides and stuff. So so I think that's an example of, you know, these people began to get an understanding of Melbourne through a game of football.
Through a game of footing, yeah. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
It's been good to meet you. And Tony, lovely to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Your third time on the
show.
Yes, your third time on the show, I think. And I hope you find a wonderful thing to do with that money. What is it, $100,000 they've given you?
That's correct.
Oh, you lucky sod. Well, well done and well deserved.
Thank you.
Tony Albert and Vincent Alessi talking to us here on Books and Arts Daily. Tony is the winner of this year's prestigious $100,000 Basil Sellers Art Prize, which honours artwork which deals with a sporting theme. And the Basil Sellers Art Prize is on show at the Ian Potter Museum of Art at the University of Melbourne until the 26th of October. And if you look around, you might see Vincent Alessi there, because that's where he's the senior curator. Across Australia, this is RN. You're listening to Books and Arts Daily.